Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform, where I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today is episode number 32 with Andreas Jones.
What a lot of people do in networking is they go into networking with the mindset of what can I get from it. The important switch I made was what can I give to this relationship that I'm looking to start. Yeah, stop trying to figure out what's in it for you. Give, and it's a law of nature. You know, if you plant seeds of good and positive vibrations all the time, it's going to come back to you.
My top two reasons to listen to today's episode are, number one, going after your dream. Andreas talks about pursuing your dream, and he has lived it. He broke away from a secure job to create a company that would make a difference in people's lives. Number two, networking. It comes up on almost every interview as both the most important aspect to a successful career and a concept to which most veterans have an initial and strong aversion. Andreas talks about networking in a way that is accessible, approachable, and authentic. Here is my interview with Andreas Jones. Well, my guest today is Andreas Jones. Andreas, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Justin.
So quick background on Andreas. He is the CEO and principal business strategist and leadership consultant at Combat Business Coaching. He served in the U.S. Army for over 8 years, where he served as a logistics and supply chain manager. His civilian career, he has worked as a contributing writer to Forbes and the Huffington Post, a project manager at the Home Depot, a vice president of procurement and strategy at the financial services company, the SunTrust. I heard Andreas on an interview with John Lee Dumas, who's runs a top iTunes podcast called Entrepreneur on Fire, which I highly recommend for anyone listening interested in entrepreneurship. What really stood out for me about Andreas was his authenticity. He spoke about getting his start in coaching during a time of loss for him and his wife, and I found it was a very powerful story. So I'll link to that episode in the show notes. I encourage anyone listening to listen to that episode as well. And he just stood out to me as someone who's really seized the bull by the horns, forged his own way, and really demonstrates another potential career path for veterans, one where you can completely make your own way. So, Andreas, to start off, anything to add to that background or about your personal life?
No, I think you covered it well. You know, just based on what you said about that tough time for my wife and I, we're in a much better place at this point in time. So from that point until now, we have grown and we have healed a little bit. But it's great to be able to share with others.
And what I liked about that, I was talking about that with my wife as well. What I liked about your story, and it comes through in a lot of these interviews, is that oftentimes from like the most difficult, challenging times in our lives, it's the starting point for very exciting things. And in the story you shared, you talked about the launching point of this coaching experience for you out of this very, very difficult time. And I can think in my own life of challenges I faced and very difficult times. And in retrospect, that was the starting point for some of my more exciting periods of my life. And so, I just thought it was a really compelling story.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much, Justin.
Yeah. So I always like to start out, Andreas, asking about at what point you knew you were going to leave the Army and how you approached that decision.
So yeah, it was a twofold decision. I had injured my back in Afghanistan. And so I had that challenge. And then, you know, my wife, she kind of wanted me to stay home after that experience. Mm. And so with those two things in mind, I had made the decision, to step away from my military career.
As you approach that decision, I'm wondering, how did you start to look at what you were going to do afterwards? What did that initial job search look like?
Wow, that initial job search was very difficult because it wasn't a long-term strategy of mine or plan, you know, to just do my 8 years, get out, and, you know, go into civilian world. My plan and goal all along was to do my 20 years in. Mm. And so at the time, you know, when I got back from Afghanistan and had a conversation with my wife, where we hadn't previously talked this plan before. And so I had a difficult decision ahead of me, with, you know, deciding to separate from the military. And then the other decision and challenge was, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah, I'm just putting myself in your shoes. I'm thinking, not only are you coming back from such a foreign environment, Afghanistan, and you've got this medical injury, and you've got this unexpected departure. It's just a lot to be handling. And then on top of that, just navigating this unknown world of what to do next.
Oh, absolutely. And so it took me about, from time I got out, it took me actually like 7 months to find a job. And I was trying to do any and everything just to keep some income flowing.
Yeah.
But also, we are very well trained in the military. And once you have that motor, once you have that discipline, it's hard to kind of just drop it in a heartbeat like that.
Did you, as you were thinking of what to do, did you think about doing the reserves, or how did you approach whether or not to join the reserves?
That became an option for me after about 3-4 months in the job search world. I looked into the reserves component, and it became a viable option for me at that point, because at that point I was just frustrated. I was stressed out, overwhelmed, just burnt out with the whole job search. Yeah. And, you know, the bills never stop coming. And life doesn't stop. So you have life coming at you. You have your bills. You have the responsibilities. So it was a pretty stressful period, that first 4 months, trying to find a job, trying to secure some income for myself and my family.
And I want to come back to that, but let's maybe fast forward to where you're at today. For someone on active duty who's listening, how would you explain what you do for a living?
Okay, so what do I do for a living? I help small to medium-sized business owners. One, help them become better leaders. Two, help them with marketing their business. And three, essentially, I'm helping them grow in their business. Whether that includes opening new locations, growing your team, adding a new product or service. So I get in the trenches with them in the foxhole and trying to figure out their next steps and their next moves, where they want to take their business.
It's fascinating to think about, being able to go in and help these businesses. What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? How does your job look like from one day to another?
So day-to-day, there's a lot of conversation and planning. So my main goal with working with any business owner is to, first thing I have to do is to figure out exactly where they are. So that entails doing a couple of assessments to figure out where they are financially, where they are, mentally. Are they ready to take on that additional step? Not, a lot of times, growth is good, but growth comes with a lot of other responsibilities that if you're not prepared for it, it'll just as quick cause you to close your business. And they're playing out of ways, to go out of business. So you have to be ready for growth, and that's kind of the initial conversations. And so day to day, we are having conversations around, okay, we're at this point, where can we go in the next 60 to 90 days? What's the first thing? What's one thing we could do that will move the needle? There's plenty of different ways to do that. So whether you're going to have a new location, are you going to, be, as I said, adding a new product or service? And then we're talking about what's that one thing you can do in 6 to 9 days that's going to get the needle moving, which is the most important point in the conversation, is to figure out one thing we can do to take that first step. And then from that first step, we evaluate and optimize along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I can just imagine. So from running a startup, it's, I feel so often just in the thick of things, and there's a million things going on, and there's so much happening, and it can be hard to keep that perspective. So I can imagine having you and your team come in and helping someone take a step back and really evaluate, look, there's 1,000 things you could be doing right now, but what's the one or two that are really going to make the difference? I can see how that would be extremely helpful for any small business owner, any medium-sized business owner.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And as you said, you know, as a business owner, you're getting pulled in a thousand different ways every day. And it's incredible, helpful and relaxing to be able to take that step back and say, okay, of all the thousand things that I could do or should be doing, what's one thing I could do that will move me closer to my goal?
Yeah. And, you know, as you're saying that, something else that comes up for me that I just realized is, you know, for anyone running a small or medium enterprise, at least my experience, it can be very isolating and very lonely that there's not a lot of people you can turn to talk about all the complexities or the challenges that you're facing. And I imagine that in many ways, you're like a confidant and someone with whom the business owner or the key managers can really talk to and get a fresh perspective, but also have that sense of connection that can be difficult to maintain just with employees in a business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and you made a very valid point. A lot of times when I engage business owners, I'm like the only person they could have those type of conversations with about growing the business,
yeah,
understanding the challenges. You know, a lot of time, they have spouses, family members. They support them, but they don't fully understand what they face and go through day to day.
Oh, man.
And
yeah.
So it's incredible, refreshing for them to have someone who understands exactly what they're going through and who can relate and give a very just help them with next steps and help them figure it out.
And it's interesting because and we'll talk about combat business coaching and how you started that, but it's interesting because you can relate to I'm imagining you can relate to them not only as someone who has started your own enterprise, but also as someone who has worked with so many other businesses, so many other leaders in the same facing the same, you know, or similar challenges, that you bring a lot of or a depth of experience to them to help them and let them know they're not alone and those challenges they're facing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the statistics are there, you know, about 80-85% of businesses fail in the first 5 years. And so, you know, we know the challenges are many, but it's not impossible to have and build a thriving business.
That's great. Well, let's, I know we jumped ahead on the timeline. So what I wanted to do then is now that listeners have a picture of what you're doing right now, let's go back to when you transitioned from the military and, just the road from the Army to starting combat business coaching. What were some of the things you did along the way or learned along the way that eventually got you to where you're at now?
Yeah. So the first thing I did, I would have to say, is make a decision to say, okay, I have a job. Do I really want to go into, owning a business, or do I really want to go into entrepreneurship?
Yep.
And, you know, that decision normally comes with a lot of sleepless nights, because then you're thinking, okay, if I'm in a job, I'm going to step away from a job where I'm almost guaranteed my paycheck into owning a business. If you don't sell your service or your product, it's more than likely you're not going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so those decisions, you know, those weigh heavily in your mind, you know, when starting out. And so one of the other things I did was start talking to other business owners, trying to figure out where I could escape some of the common downfalls and mistakes that people make when they just starting businesses. So I got myself into a community of other business owners, into their mindsets, just trying to figure out that conversation that they're having with you know, themselves, their partners, their families, how that all comes together from saying, okay, I want to start a business and to actually having the business.
As you were having those conversations, what does anything stick out, or do you remember anything in particular about advice you received that was just really, really valuable for you?
Yeah. So I think the number one advice I got, was to not do it by myself, not do it alone.
Yeah.
Cause as we discussed earlier, as a small business owner, there's a thousand different things to do. out and all those things. And so it's incredible important for you to either build a team, have an advisor, have someone to walk that journey with you.
How did you, and I agree with that. I mean, I think not only from the division of labor standpoint, but just the emotional component of having someone in the trenches with you that's equally committed. I've started Storybox solo, and it's very, very lonely at times. And I'm wondering, what advice would you have for people on how to find that person to start the business with? Or how did you find your partner or team when you were starting your company?
Okay, so the first thing I did was, you know, there's this app, the Meetup app. They have a lot of different meetups. And so it's all about networking, figuring out a community that works for you or who understands your situation. And so I just got out in the community, started talking to people, start going to different events and conferences to really start getting to know people.
That's great. And so it sounds like one really important component of all of this was meeting other entrepreneurs, meeting other people, learning from their mistakes, making those connections, and really leveraging the experience of other people to connect and to move your idea for a business forward.
Yeah, and absolutely. So there are two ways you could really, you know, learn and grow. You could pay for the long, hard journey, or you could kind of skip some of that and learn from someone else's mistakes, which is more than likely easier to handle, easier situation. So if you talk to 5-6 business owners and you ask them any one question, there are going to be some commonalities in the answers. You're going to start figuring out patterns of what's not to do and what to do. And so that's why it's incredibly important to have those conversations. And it's like we do in the military. We do preparations. You know, we do our drills, and that's to prepare us for the actual battle. Mm. And so it's kind of the same mindset, the same procedure. Is okay, I'm going to, this is my mission to open my business. Okay, how can I prep? How can I navigate from having the mission to actually completing the mission?
That's great. You know what jumps out at me when you say that is that I love this approach where you're getting information, you're starting to figure out trends and advice people are giving you and what they're saying. But it also strikes me that helped in your job search or your decision to start a company. But that also, I imagine, is a very, very big component of what you do now. You are working with lots of different businesses, and over time, I imagine you're building up this knowledge base of just common problems that businesses face, common things that hold people back from growing, common changes that businesses can make to grow. And so it's just interesting to me how consistent that's been, in that it's what started you on this path, but it's also been, I'm embedding a big component of what you do now.
Oh, absolutely. And until you brought that up, I didn't realize that's what I was doing. I was just doing it unconsciously.
Yeah.
But you really illuminated that for me. I'm really collecting the data and analyzing and, you know, making decisions and helping me navigate that path.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I just wonder how much subconsciously when you were doing all of that, you know, I don't know you, but you know, you seem very personable. And so I can imagine that when you're at these conferences and these meetups, there's some part of you that's being, you know, lit up and fired up, and you're there's something where you're getting a hunger for that. And you're starting to see like, oh, I'm really good at making these connections and I really enjoy it. And I just wonder how much that influenced then once you decided you wanted to do entrepreneurship, you started to just realize that you had a knack for that, and that was a skill and something that you enjoyed. It's really fascinating.
Oh, well, absolutely. And that was one of the biggest things that I did. And once I got into the corporate world, was one of the biggest things I did was network. Mm-hmm. So I got out in the military, got into the corporate world. I didn't have a degree. And so, yeah, I had the work ethic. I knew what I was doing, but you know, in the corporate world, a lot of that stuff is a lot of politics, if you could say. And you know, so you sometimes you have people who have degrees that has nothing to do with their jobs, and they only got a job because they had a degree. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of that in the corporate world. And so I was in an interesting position to know what I was doing, but because I didn't have that element to it, it made the path a little more difficult. But I figured out my workaround was to network, start getting to know the right people. And so I'll prove my work. People start recognizing, oh, Andreas did that. And then I'll network with the right people. So when opportunities did come up, one of the names in the conversation is, oh, Andreas, maybe we could give Andreas a call. And so, you know, any military person, you know, active or, you know, getting out, transitioning, it's incredibly important to start building your network. It's going to pay off, you know, 10 times the investment you put in the time to develop those relationships, but it could absolutely put you on the fast track in whatever field, whatever business, whatever job you want to go in, if you have the right network.
You know, what I love about the way that you explain that is, it seems like for the veteran community, networking is a bad word. It has this negative connotation. But what I liked about in your explanation, it seems like for you, there was this component of hard work and quality product and meeting people. And you talked about how people saw the quality of your work and knew you as someone who did good work. And then you came to mind when they were doing similar work. And I think that's such a critical component. It's like, it's, you know, networking the way you're describing it is not just going out and making up stories and, you know, wining and dining with people. You know, there's a component of meeting people, but there's also that component of, like, you know, do good work and meet other people, and they're going to see you doing good work. And the two of those things together leads to, you know, can lead to some success there.
Oh, absolutely. So one important ingredient in networking is, what a lot of people do in networking is they go into networking with the mindset of what can I get from it. And the important switch I made was, what can I give to this relationship that I'm looking to start? So if I'm talking with a senior VP, and, you know, I'm talking, trying to figure out, okay, how can I help you doing whatever you're doing? It might not be my immediate job at this point, but, oh, maybe I happen to know someone or something that could add to what he's doing that could help him figure out his issue. And so when I started approaching the networking situation from a viewpoint of what can I give, it became incredible resourceful to me on the back end.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking too, what a better way to live a life too, of going around just seeing how you can help people rather than this perspective of what's in it for me. I just feel like I can see that leads to business success, but I imagine that leads to a lot more personal fulfillment and happiness of just having this sense of contribution and how can I help others in a way that's authentic for me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is. It's a big part of my life to be able to give back. And so, you know, just having that mindset of what can I give is really important to me. And it's something I tell everyone that I come in contact with is, stop trying to figure out what's in it for you.
Yeah.
Give. And it's a law of nature. You know, if you plant seeds of good and positive and, you know, positive vibrations all the time, it's going to come back to you. Now, it might not come back to you immediately, but you just keep on doing it. And it is going to come back. It's like planting a seed. You know, you plant the acorn, the oak tree doesn't come up right away, but you still have to plant, you still have to nurture it, water it, make sure it gets the sunlight and all that good stuff for the oak tree to pop out.
That's great. And so you're putting yourself in situations where you're networking, you're finding other entrepreneurs, you're learning about their journey. What else kind of helped you on this road to starting your own company?
Okay, so the number one thing I did when I network, when I learned, when I got all this information and data was take action. Mm-hmm. It all means nothing if you don't take action, if you don't implement something. It's all to naught. if you don't do anything at all. So the number one thing you can do is if you have a conversation with 5, 10 people, and you hear them saying the same thing, don't do this, or do this, do this. It's on you. It's your responsibility to implement that, to figure out a way to make it applicable to your situation and implement it, take action.
Yeah, I think that's true, man, of not just receiving that information, but acting on it. And yeah, I think that's a critical component that a lot of people miss.
Yes, yes.
And so what was it like starting your own company then? Do you remember the moment when you decided I'm going to actually do this? And what did the day-to-day life look like when you were first getting this off the ground?
Yeah, so first getting off the ground, you know, it was a lot of excitement. You know, I got a website, I got business cards, and it was just a lot of excitement. So the initial day-to-day was kind of start, you know, handing out business cards, trying to, you know, build up social media profiles. And so the initial step for me was to get the word out that this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And, your business doesn't serve you if no one knows it's there at the end of the day.
Was that hard for you? I know that in some conversation with veterans, the process of self-promotion can seem difficult or kind of goes against the grain of what they were taught in the military. I'm just wondering, was that easy for you or difficult for you? And how did you, if it was challenging, how did you overcome that?
Yeah, so it was challenging because that wasn't my personality to go out and self-promote myself. But at the end of the day, you got to understand why you started a business in the first place.
Yeah.
And if my business at that point was to be able to create a better life for my family. So I wasn't, when I was handing out a business card or promoting my business, I'm thinking about, well, if I don't do this, then I can't do this for my family. And my family, my wife is a big part of everything I do. And so having that higher purpose, having that higher goal to direct and guide you, it helps you stop thinking about you.
Yeah.
Because most of that fear of self-promoting or apprehension to self-promoting, it's because you're thinking about yourself all the time and not what you're doing for other people. I know I have an incredible service I could offer. And if I'm only thinking about, man, I don't want to come off as being self-promoting, then I'm not getting the word out. I'm not getting in front of people who could really use what I have.
Mm. You know, I love that because I'm thinking back to what you said earlier about even in networking, you're not trying to think about what can this person do for me, but how can I help this person? And something that clicked for me is that how powerful that is, that when you're promoting, when you're passing out these business cards, when you're promoting your business, it's coming from that confidence of like, look, I can do something powerful for this company. Like I can help them. And if they don't need that help, that's fine. But it sounds like the intention it was coming from was helping people out and delivering value, not like I need this person's money. And it's just amazing for me, like that simple mindset change for me just kind of clicked. I'm like, oh man, that's such a powerful way to think about growing a business. Is like, look, I offer something valuable and I want to help more people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right on point, Justin.
When you first started your own business, I'm wondering in what ways did you feel ahead of your civilian peers because of your Army experience, and in what ways did you feel like you had to catch up to them?
Okay, so one, I felt ahead of them because of the discipline and just that tenacity to keep fighting on.
Oh man, yeah.
So even when I had slow days, I would still get up and say, okay, let's do it again, no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I felt like I had that that jump start. I was ahead of my peers in that sense.
Yeah.
And then when it came to where I felt like I was lacking is when, I didn't go to college. I didn't have all the fancy diplomas and certifications. So that kind of weighed on me a little bit. Maybe I'm not qualified enough to do this. Mm. But then that goes back to me just thinking about me and not really thinking about what I could offer, what I could help people with.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. You know, what jumps out at me about that as well is I think it's easy to get caught up in credentials and diplomas and things like that. But one of the things I like about entrepreneurship and startups in general is that, you know, action and results is all that matters. And, you know, compared to a lot of industries, a lot of the, you know, what I would consider fluff just doesn't matter as much. It boils down to, can this person deliver value? And it's less about where they're coming from or, you know, what they've done in the past. It's like, show me that you can deliver results right now. And that's one thing I really like about startups. So another thing I was wanting to ask you about is, what advice you'd give to other veterans who want to start their own business?
Yeah, so the number one thing I'll tell them to do is to make sure they're doing proper research and preparations. Don't just start a business to start a business sake.
Yeah.
Figure out exactly what you're getting into. You know, that could be different based on the business you want to go into. Figure out those preparational steps before you go into it. Yeah. The worst thing you could do is to go into a business unprepared, into a business situation unprepared. Because once you start, it doesn't stop until you quit or you win. That's the way it goes.
That's awesome. What have you liked most about starting your own company, and what have you liked least about it?
What I've liked most about it is the freedom, is the opportunity to spend more time with my wife.
Yeah.
And is the possibility of providing a solid financial future for us and for kids.
Yeah.
And what I like least about it, that's time consuming, man. It is.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that is an opportunity cost. I rather put in all this time, make the sacrifices at this point. And know that, you know, a couple years down the road, you know, my family will be okay, rather than trying to be comfortable at this point and then trying to figure it out when I'm 40, 50, 60 years old.
Mm. Yeah. It's, it takes a lot of guts and takes risk jumping off that, but it's, you know, you're investing in yourself and you're investing in your family's future, and that takes courage in it, but it also, you know, can pay off in the long run. And you had talked about meetup.com earlier. I'm wondering any other resources you would recommend to listeners.
Okay, so one of the number one books I recommend is the Compound Effect by Dan Hardy. And the simple premise of the book is that, you know, you have a goal and all you're doing is taking 1 to 2 steps weekly, monthly, however you want to break it down for you. But just keep doing something every day, every week, every month. That's going to drive you closer towards your goal, and it all compounds, you know, into a big momentum shift for you.
Yeah, that's great.
And then the another resource I use is LinkedIn. You know, there's a lot of veteran groups and organizations on there if you want to kind of talk with other veterans, connect with other veterans. And then if you look into going to jobs, figure out how to connect with those companies on LinkedIn, figure out what they're talking about, what's trending in that industry. And I said, the most important thing is just being prepared. What makes us successful in the U.S. military is our preparations. We are the most well-trained military in the world. And that helps us be successful on the battlefield because of that training and preparation. So it's the same concept. You're already used to it. If you're active duty, a veteran, or on your way out, you're already used to being prepared. So just transfer that into your civilian life. The same approach, the same mindset towards, okay, I got to prepare to what. So when the battle day comes, I'm ready for it. I'm not trying to figure it out. Then I already have my muscle memory in the right place to how to react.
One other thing I always like to ask is, when you look back on that transition from the Army to civilian life, what was one of the most surprising things in that transition, or something that you didn't know to expect at the time?
Well, one of the most surprising things was how little people really understood the military. And especially in the corporate world, you know, it's great to say you support veterans, but a lot of people don't really understand what it is that we bring to the table. And so I do recognize and understand that's a challenge for a lot of veterans is how to translate your military service, your military training into language and terms of the corporate world of this, where you want to go. And so one way of doing that, as I said, is prepare, start. If there's a company or industry you want to work with, you know, figure out an industry magazine or something that's going to give you the lingo. So you start understanding how they talk in that industry, start figuring out how they think about things, and just getting those data points that'll help you a long way. And just start help you formulating, okay, I did this in the military. Maybe this transfers over here. So for example, I did, logistics supply chain in the military. Now, there's a lot of logistics supply chain businesses out in the real world, but it's not quite the same. There's not quite the same challenges, but the principles remain the same in logistics supply chain. It's more or less, I got this thing, I either need it to be made or I need to get this from point A to point B. And that's how I translated that for me. I broke it down into the simplest terms. And then, once I got in to that to that job or to that company, then I start expanding on, okay, this is what I know at this point. How do they do it here versus how I did in the military? Can I take some of the exact things I did in the military, put it here? Or do I need to do away with some of this military stuff? Because it's not applicable here.
Yeah, that's great. I love and I love that sense of preparation and just taking the strengths in the military of just being able to do your homework, to learn quickly, to learn a new language, to learn where people are interacting. I think that's great advice for listeners. I know we're short on time. I always like to ask as the final question, just more of a catch-all. I know you've touched on a lot of different topics, but knowing that you have an audience of other veterans, anything else you'd like to share with them, advice you'd like to give, or anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I tell them, if you have a dream, if it's your dream, why wait one more day to go after it? If you have a dream, go after it, buddy. Take charge of your dream. Take hold of your dream and pursue. Fight for it.
I love it. And I appreciate your example, too, as someone who has walked the talk where, I can only imagine the amount of obstacles and struggles you've overcome to leave a secure job and believe in yourself and start something from the ground up. And so I appreciate the example you are for the veteran community of someone who has really grabbed that dream and gone after it.
Oh, thank you very much, Justin. I'm glad I'm able to share with your audience and other veterans. I definitely think they could find at least one thing out of this conversation that'll help them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will link in the show notes to other podcasts with Andreas, his book, his company website, other information about him. I encourage you to check it out. And Andreas, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you, Justin. I really appreciate it.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Before you go, three important announcements. First, if you believe in what I'm doing and believe in supporting veterans in their careers, please, please, please help me spread the word. The best way I know to do that right now is by taking 18 seconds to write a review on iTunes. It would mean a lot. Second, based on my interviews, I'd advise any and all veterans to look at servicetoschool.org and the American Corporate Partners. Both are completely free for veterans and give you a lot of great resources for your education or professional life, respectively. Third, there are a ton of other great interviews, resources, and data at beyondtheuniform.io. Check it out, share it with your friends, and drop me a line if you have any feedback because I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, and see you on the next interview.